Good morning. It's a blessing to be gathered together. I see some faces that I have seen quite a few times. I see some faces here that I haven't really maybe seen before. And so it's a blessing to be here with you. And this morning, we want to talk a little bit about serving a God who is not nervous. And as we look around, I had a pastor friend who used to say, he's passed away now, but he would say that God is on the throne, he's in charge, and he's not even nervous. And that's a blessing this morning. That we serve a God that is not nervous. We serve a God that is not, he's unchanging. In a society and in a world where things are complex and there's a lot of change and a lot of issues, God is unchanging. God said, if you confess me before men, he said, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. He's an unchanging God. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, but we do live in some very wild times. I don't know if that's the right term or not, but I'm not a big reader up front. I'm not a big note guy, but I just want to go through a few things and think about, have you ever read in the Old Testament how you read things about, wow, those nations were wicked that God destroyed. Let me read, and then you tell me what nation I'm talking about this morning here, okay? Just let me read a few things. They have no fear of God. Very little reverence of God's word. God's word is not the final say. They love money. They love themselves. They're proud. They have nude beaches. They run around practically naked. The anatomy of your body does not say what you are, whether you're male or female. You can decide whether you're male or female. They pay thousands of dollars for pets and for animals. And they kill their babies. You can kill your baby and be safe under the law and go to prison for killing the neighbor's dog. God did not create them. They came from monkeys. They loved violence and watching other people commit adultery and fornication. They worshiped the earth and youth and health. They even did some things down this line. They had sex trafficking. Those who didn't want to die, I don't know how all this works. Now, I'm not going to say this all as facts right here, but they would take blood cells and things out of young people and put them into their bodies and possibly dispose of those young people. They did not understand the times that they were in. for no reason at all, they would shoot each other. They were sodomites. I bet you some of us here this morning doesn't know what a sodomite is, probably. Do you know what a sodomite is this morning? That's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It's homosexuality. They traded husbands and wives. They laughed and joked and made light of end times. They wore dog collars and leashes and demanded that they have litter boxes in schools. We could go on and on and on. What nation are we talking about this morning? Huh? Huh? We live in that nation. I know in the nations in the Old Testament, it didn't say all those details, but if we would read of a nation in the Old Testament, wouldn't we say, wow, it's no wonder that God destroyed them. It's no wonder that God was not pleased with them. It's no wonder, okay? So I say all those things, and those are the times that we live in. I go to a coffee shop there sometimes, and one of the cook there, she came and was talking with me a little bit, and she said that Eastside High School, which is would be our county's public high school there, they were hardly a month into high school, and they'd had three or four students already try to commit suicide. And then there was another man that I talk with that's a believer sometimes. He's a believer, but I talk to him sometimes. And he's a believer, not just sometimes. He came over and he said, my granddaughter goes to DeKalb High School. And he said, yeah, he said, they have people wearing dog collars in there and leashes. And, you know, we look at all those things, and it's obviously a sign of the times that we live in. But as I think of all those things, I think does it do us good to bury our head and just act like those things are not there? No. It does not do that good. But I believe what happens to us sometimes as believers and Christians is we can start to focus on all of that wickedness, and it's okay to be aware of that and to rebuke that and to turn away from those things. But do you realize it still makes God sick when we're lukewarm? See, we tend to think that, wow, as God looks down, He sees all of this stuff. And He sees all these things going on. You know, God's not nervous about Donald Trump. He's not. His blood pressure hasn't went up one degree. Okay? Joe Biden or whoever. His blood pressure has not changed. He knew this was all coming about. He's not nervous. He's in control. And yet He's an unchanging God. And when He sees us as His people being lukewarm, it causes Him to basically vomit. And I find myself sometimes, I mean, we live in a time that when we think of all that wickedness, I mean, some of the other things that whatever, well, that isn't that big of a deal compared to. But we serve an unchanging God. So God does not get used to the society around Him. And He doesn't let the society around Him influence Him. And so as I think about that as God's people, what should our response be to how we live? And sometimes when I pray, one of my prayers is God, how should I live as a citizen of the United States? I mean, I know that we're of heaven, we're of another kingdom, that we're going to go to be with God someday, and we're part of that kingdom, but how should I respond? How should I live in the times that we live in. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at this morning. And God is not surprised. Many of these things that we just talked about could fall into line with some of the things we're going to read here. But I think the number one verse that I want us to key on this morning is Romans 1:16. And Paul writes, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so I want to challenge us this morning. Let's be so in love with God. Let's be so in love with God that we are unashamed of His Word. Does that make sense this morning? You know, I think of sometimes being ashamed. Have you ever struggled just simply with the fact that you're in a restaurant and the other six guys with you at the table, they're just like a bunch of pigs. The food comes out and they don't pray. They just, oh boy, I should pray. And so sometimes we kind of, thank you, God. You know, because, you know, I don't think either that we have to stand up and pray so the whole restaurant hears us, but is it okay? Am I ashamed to just bow my head and say, thank you, God, for my food? I acknowledge you. Am I ashamed? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as I think of those things, let's go ahead and well, I'll give you a couple other examples that I'm thinking of just a little bit of not being ashamed. You know, if we love something, we're not ashamed of it. I don't think in our circles I've ever ran into someone who was ashamed to tell me how many grandchildren they had. Right? I've never ran into someone that said, 7. No, instead they say like, we have 12 and there's 2 on the way as far as we know. You know? Yeah, you know? Because we're not ashamed of that. And you know, sometimes we start to say, well, you know, the reason why I don't speak up for Christ is because it's just not me to talk to someone that I don't know. So if they ask you how many grandchildren you have, you can't answer them. Right? No, we can. We can say yes. And as I think of that, not being ashamed of Jesus Christ in this society that we live in. A few years back, I was having a Bible study at a nursing home, and I simply said the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way. And one of the ladies spoke up and she said, "I do not appreciate what you just said." She said, "My parents were good people." And I said, "You know, I didn't know your parents." And I said, "Your parents are in the hand of a just God." And I said, "He's going to judge them righteously and right. But Jesus Christ is the only way." I've been starting to do that when people call, these telemarketers call me. The other day, one of them called and they said, Now you do have Medicare A and B, right?" And I said, "No, I don't have either of them, but I have Jesus." And the other day I was sitting in KFC and the one called and I can tell, you know, you can tell when it is. And I said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning. How you doing?" I said, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven." He said, "Oh," he said, "Jesus was a good prophet." I said, "No, Jesus was the Son of God." He said, "No, I'm Muslim." He said, "Jesus was a good." I said, "Jesus was the Son of God." And he said, "Well, I don't feel that way." I said, "Well, that's what the Bible says." So, you know, my wife, you think she's a little quiet. She is kind of more quiet than me. But, you know, a while back, a guy called and she did that. She said, "I just want to tell you that Jesus is the only way." And he said, "No, Muhammad." And wasn't it Muhammad? our Allah. Which one? Allah. He said, no, Allah. And she said, no, Jesus is the only way. And he said, no, Allah. And she said, no, Jesus is the only way. You know, if they can take my time, I can feel free to take their time a little bit and share with them a little bit, you know. And, you know, usually I don't have to worry about them going on because after a little bit, it'll just be click, you know. But, you know, so to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Let's read on down through here. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and listen to this, and worshiped and served the creature, or we could say the creation, more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of their women, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we're not here this morning to break down. We don't have the time this morning to break down all of these verses. But one thing that has really begun to stand out to me in my life from Romans chapter 1 is verse 21 when it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Okay, so when they had an opportunity to make God number one in their life, they chose something else. So whenever we choose to make something else in our life, number one, other than God, we could end up in any of that list this morning that I read. Okay? And we say, no. Yes. Because if you trace it back, that's what happens. God says that, or Paul writes here, he says that because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They weren't thankful for what Christ done for us. You know, if I am really thankful for what Christ has done for me, how can I go against him? When I think about what he's done for me on Calvary, and when I think about how he's interceding for me at the Father, at the right hand of the Father, and someday he's coming back for me, how can I go against him? It's because I don't give him his rightful place. And that's what Paul is writing here and what God wanted him to write. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. He was not number one. God didn't tell us that you have to make me number one and love me with all your heart, soul, and mind. Because he wanted to control us, he knew that that was what was best for us and what was right. And that if we didn't do that, that we would fall away. And so we look out and, you know, into society today, and we see people hugging trees and they're loving the whales and they're trying to save the earth. You know, the Bible says that the earth is under the curse of sin, and it is groaning and prevailing to be redeemed. So even the earth is feeling the wrath of the fall of man. And I believe it's against God when we join these movements of somehow we're going to save this earth and somehow we're going to whatever. That is contrary to the word of God. It says that it's going to be destroyed. It's going to melt with the fervent heat. And it's groaning and prevailing. And we're having earthquakes and all these things because we're in the end times. And the Bible, God knew it. He said these things were going to happen. And so we have a God, He's not nervous. He's not afraid because He's in total control. He told us beforehand that these things were going to happen. And then I really think 25 is a real key for us as believers. You know, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it's about worship. Who we worship, what we worship. In the end times, I don't know how you all look at it, but in the end times, with the mark of the beast and all these different things, what is it about? It's about worship. Who are you going to worship? What are you going to worship? And so that has been the battle ever since the fall of man. The devil wants us to worship him. God desires that we worship him. And it's amazing. Some of you here have been into a lot more. I've been into several countries. But can anyone here that's been traveled quite a bit, and we've traveled quite a bit, but have you ever went somewhere that you said, you know, we found a group of people that doesn't worship anything? Anybody? No. Because God put inside of us, we worship something. It may be the sun, it may be our body, it may be whatever it might be, but there's a desire that God put within us to worship something, and that His will is that we use that desire to worship Him. And that's what it's going to be about in end times. It's going to be worship. You know, Satan told God, he said, "Fall down and worship me." And the battle is over worship. And who am I worshiping? And who am I serving? And so God knew these things. And it says that they worshiped and served the creature, or I'm going to say the creation, more than the Creator. So they were more concerned about saving the earth than saving souls. And sometimes we as God's people can be more worshiping of putting money into our savings than saving souls. Do you see what I mean? We get things turned around. I have some savings. I have some money. I'm not on my last dollar. I'm not saying that we have to be. But what drives me? What do I worship? Well, you know, am I more concerned about my savings account or saving souls? Am I more worried about my reputation or serving God? Those can be heavy things. You know, sometimes we get really concerned about our reputation. And you know, You can't save your reputation. Anyone can decide to choose to destroy your reputation, but no one can destroy your character. Does that make sense? Eventually, your character will show out. Will show up that reputation was not right. But anyone can destroy your reputation, but no one can destroy your character. Only I can destroy my own character. And so, as we think about these things, how is my character? What is my inner man? What is my thinking? As we look around us, and I mean, I tell you, I am amazed sometimes of what society is. And you know, sometimes I think, What else could they think of? A neighbor man that I do, so we do some farming back and forth together. He was just saying that he's seen a program that a couple had a 5-year-old son, and he said that he wanted to be a girl. And so they are doing operations to have him changed at the age of 5. What can we think of? I mean, what is there left? I mean, I don't know. You know, he told me, he said, those parents should be put in prison. And he's right. But, you know, but yet we have to go back to the fact that God is in control. And even 10, 15 years ago, the things that we're seeing today would have almost been unthinkable. That's how quickly things are changing. But remember, brothers and sisters, we serve a God who is unchanging. And He's not nervous. And we can rely on Him. Even in the times. And let's not forget. Don't let the sin of others make it seem like, okay, that area in my life that I'm not giving to God is okay. That God probably doesn't think that's big of a deal. I mean, so, you know, I didn't pray like I should have, but wow, look at what's going on out here. You see, we like to focus on what's out there instead of sometimes what's in here. What's going on in my life? And I just challenge you in the days that we live in, that we stay close to the Word of God, that we build upon the Word of God. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And then we build on top of that by the Word of God. And so when the Word of God speaks out and whatever, it's so true and it's unchanging. And like, here's an example of how changing it can be. When we heard of the first school shooting, it was like, whew. Now it's like sometimes, oh, did you hear the other week that there was another shooting? You see how we become accustomed to that. God doesn't become accustomed to sin in our life. He doesn't become accustomed to us worshiping someone other than Him. We were doing a small group study, and we was looking at going through the book of Proverbs and talking about adultery in there. And we got talking about that, you know, wow, isn't it amazing how easy it is? You know, we marry Christ and we talk about being married to Christ and all these things. And how often do I commit adultery with Him? How often do I divorce Him and go after something else? When I divorce what He wants me to do and I go after something else, I commit adultery with God. You know, when we look at the sin and that list of what's out there, even to the point that, oh, fornication? Oh, yeah, it's not right, but that doesn't sound so bad considering what all's going on, right? It's just as much sin to God as it's ever been. It's not become less. And so as we work in the society that we and we live in the society that we are in, I don't have the answers, but I know that God does. Does that make sense this morning? I don't have the answers. To be absolutely honest with you, I don't like to be doomsday. But I think we're to the point that God has given us over. And we're done. I don't think it's going to come back around. God said it. Once they turn away from me enough, and it's not just the U.S., it's the world. I believe we're very close to that stage where God just says, okay, I'm going to just give them over and I'm going to let them believe a lie.
But we don't have to be them that he gave over.
Right?
No. We can be part of the kingdom of God. We're not part of them who he gave over. But we can overcome. We can be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, and as I think about being an overcomer and of all these things, it begins. You know, every wicked person, well, I don't know if I can say every wicked person, but let's back up on that. Every one of us here, if someday we ever fall away from God, it began with telling God no with one thing. No, I won't worship you in that. No, I won't give you that. I want to worship this instead of this. I want to worship something else instead of what you have told me to worship. And once we make that first step, it becomes easier to make that step again. And then it becomes easier to make that step again. At Heritage Bible School, I was speaking through the teaching through the book of Hebrews. And I want to throw this out there to you. I'm not saying this is absolute doctrine, but I think it's something that could fit. You know, Hebrews is very interesting when it says that it's impossible to restore one who has fallen away. Those are some verses. We know that it's very serious to fall away. Okay? I think one aspect that could fit with that, and we have to be careful with this in our own lives. I have to be careful with this. That I believe it's easier for a person who just decides to turn their back on God and to walk away for them to be restored someday. I mean, they just deny God and they're done. Could it be that it's impossible for believers who once were enlightened and they tasted and they walked in the truths of God and they worshiped God and they worshiped Him alone? Could it be that as they begin to worship this and that and worship God less and less and less, and yet they're still saved, yet they're still going to heaven, yet they're still whatever. And so over a 30-year period of time, they gave up putting God first. They gave up their devotions. They gave up whatever it might be in their life. And they give all these things up. And yet they're still going to church. And they're still serving God. Or they think they are. And they're still saying that they're saved. And that they're going to heaven. And you know, after 20, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of just slowly walking away from worship of God, I wonder sometimes if it's almost impossible to help them see their need of coming back to God. Because all through this walk of walking away from God, they're still going to heaven. They're still saved. They're still whatever. Even though they're worshiping the earth. And I was in Canada and they were telling me, this one brother there was telling me that he was at a funeral. And he said, I just asked this brother, because they were talking about sin or something. He said, what would you need to do in your church to be confronted? In other words, about sin and things. And he said, this guy, he thought a little while. And this sounds hilarious, okay? It really does. He said he thought for a while. And he said, you know, he said, if we use plasticware at the fellowships and we don't reuse them, that would probably cause someone to come and tell you that you need to change that.
That was his thought of church. This brother was saying, like, what would you have to do as far as sin? But that was his thought process. In other words, what he was saying was, no, you won't be confronted on anything. But see, as it is very serious, I think one of the most serious slides is when just slowly. And I think I don't think that's probably all that passage is talking about, but I think it can fit into a type and shadow of what that passage is saying, because we're clear over here now, and I mean, we don't even need church anymore, and we're not even reading and praying anymore, but we're saved because we still believe Jesus is the Son of God, and we still believe that, you know. And if God wants us over there, and we're over here, and we're still claiming, no, we're saved, it's nearly impossible to get back over there unless we repent. And we have to crucify ourselves again and say, wait a minute. But so I challenge us in this society and the days that we live in. Let's not become used to the fact that maybe that isn't a big deal with God. I mean, yeah, His Word says that, but He's got to be more frustrated with that over there. Every adulteress, how should I say this? Every adulteress relationship began with the first wrong thought. Does that make sense? It began with the first wrong thought. And then another wrong thought. And we begin to worship that thought. And we begin to worship that thought. And we begin to worship it more and more. And I was doing a message a few years back on studying on worship. And when I read in Revelation there, I found something that was very interesting. You know, I've been told over the years, you know, don't take the mark of the beast. And I still think that's right. OK, I'm not making fun of that. But something stood out to me beyond that is first of all, they worshiped before they took the mark. So they were worshiping the wrong things. So, you know, I believe that if we as God's people today are worshiping the right things, we're going to receive the mark of God, right? Yeah. But you see, think of a relationship that goes wrong where there's adultery. First of all, someone, like I said, they begin to worship that thought. They begin to think about it. Then they begin to worship it and worship it and worship it. And finally, they took the mark, the action. Was it the action that put them over the edge? No, it was the worshiping back here that began to take them down the wrong road. And so when I worship things other than God, I begin to slide down that long wrong road that leads to death. 32 is a very interesting verse. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. So they know it. They know it and they don't care. I mean, I was in the restaurant the other day. And you know, we hear these things so often. And the waitress told a couple guys, he said, you guys are going to hell. And he said, probably. He said, I don't have any friends anywhere else. And I thought, wow. Wow. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So not only is it enough that I'm not involved with things, but I don't take pleasure in the things that other people are involved with that are against God.
I know there's some understanding and things, but sometimes I really wonder. Like people say, we're going to really study this false religion. Do we really need to do a deep study into a false religion? It's nice to know how to react to some thoughts that people have. But I think if we do a deep study into the Word of God, He'll give us wisdom to know how to respond. I sometimes enjoy understanding what other religions think and whatever. But, you know, to just do a deep study. And if we're not careful, if we start to study that more than the Word of God, could we be swayed? That, man, maybe, there's room for some of that of understanding. But, you know, I don't need to understand everything that a Muslim believes in order to point him to Christ. I don't need to understand everything that goes on in whatever cults or whatever it might be. But we need to know the truth and to love the truth. So I want to leave you with this challenge this morning. Are you worshiping a God this morning who is in control? He's on the throne. He's in control. And He's not even nervous. Is that your God this morning? If it's not, I challenge you to change your worship and to repent. Because we have a God that is on the throne. He is in charge. And He's not even nervous. Let's pray. Father, this morning, help us to be people that worship. Help us to be people who are sold out to You. Lord, we know that every person, we are created to worship. May we worship God. May we worship the things of God. So, Father, be with this congregation and each brother and sister. You know the needs. You know your desire. You know your thoughts for this congregation. I just pray, Father, that Your will would be accomplished. That these brothers could serve You and be faithful. Lord, I pray that I would serve You and be faithful. Lord, I admit that sometimes I begin to worry and I look around me and I think, whoa, what is going on? But then I have to go back to serving a God who is not nervous. Help each of us as fathers in this congregation right here, and I include myself with this, to be the shepherds that You want us to be. To be the men of God. Our children know who we worship and what we worship. Help us to be worshipers of the true God. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.